I think Brother Russell done a good job preaching. All right, take your Bibles with us this morning, 2 Timothy. Again, appreciate you being here. I know this morning we are celebrating across our nation this day set aside for Father's Day. And the Lord directed our path to a message this morning, I believe, to dealing with the thoughts of fathers. But it's not just fathers this morning. It's, the Bible teaches us that us older men ought to be teaching the younger men, and the older ladies ought to be teaching the younger ladies in the church. And again, I see that as an area, not just at Gospel Light. I believe we're trying to do as best as we can. We can do a lot better. But across our nation, I see a great falling away in that aspect of men taking on that role of teaching young men how to be good Christian men. And the youth, I'm thankful for our young people. I really am. I think we got 15 going to camp this year in team week, so that's great. I don't know how about junior yet. I know there's a few already gave their papers for junior. But I see the direction of youth in America and what they're following after, and I think, Lord, help us, even in the so-called spiritual side of things, that very little Bible they know, a lot of emotions, a lot of physical aspects of things, but very little Bible. And but today, as we look at daddies and as Brother Russell mentioned there about the prisons, I know for a fact, I've read the statistics myself, through the Rock of Ages, Brother Rick, they're dealing with the young people in prison all across our country. It's a well-documented fact that the majority of, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know it's very high percentile of young people in prison today do not have a home where there was a father figure. I want to say this just as politely as I can. It takes nothing for a man to be a father, but it takes everything for a man to be a daddy. And I want to be a daddy, and I hope you men want to be a daddy, not just to your own children, your grandchildren, but to our children here at the church. I'm thankful. I've mentioned people before that God's put in my path. I'm thankful for physical. I love my daddy to death. He has taught me so much. I still respect my daddy, and you ought to respect your daddy if he's still alive. Today, a lot of children, I know teenage boys that do not respect their daddies because they call them by their first name. That just to me is very disrespectful. I still respect my daddy and believe you ought to. But I thank the Lord for the knowledge of my dad and how he's taught me things. We were talking to a man yesterday, and he says, you'd be amazed the people that young men that don't even know how to change a tire. How sad. I'm thankful that I had a daddy that taught me some things. And we need to teach our young people things like that in different ways. But we're going to look this morning at a thought here in 2 Timothy. If you will, stand with us this morning as we read some scripture together this morning. We won't read the whole chapter. We'll read just a few verses here this morning. I enjoyed my study this week in 2 Timothy. The Lord brought our mind over here to this place. Here in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's where everything's at, it's in Christ. Verse 2, to Timothy. So Paul here writing to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let's pray. Lord, we sure thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, for the privilege just to read this a portion of scripture this morning. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for each daddy, each mama, each person that's here this morning, God, that they'd care enough, God, to be in your house this morning, God. And Lord, I know if we looked across the world today that many today never even take thought of who you are. But Lord, I know this morning, God, if there's anything that anybody needs this morning, it's you. And I pray, God, as we gathered here in this one little spot, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, God, Lord, just to look up and, Lord, see you this morning. And I know there's needs, Lord. There's physical needs all around this building. There's financial and spiritual needs, Lord. But God, I pray this morning, God, that we'd take our thoughts, not on ourselves this morning per se, but God, we look to you this morning. God, I pray once again that you direct our hearts in such a way, God, that you'd get honor and glory, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. As I began looking back through this great book, I love the 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I just love these two books of the Bible. A lot of great things that we can dig out of these books. And God began to show me some things. And one thing that I'm not preaching this morning, I know, as we look at the writer here of 2 Timothy, of course, the Apostle Paul. And at this period of Apostle Paul's life, of course, we know that he's in prison. He's in jail at this time. He's in health-wise not doing well, as he's been beat and left dead and all these things. And now he's in prison again. And Paul, the scriptures doesn't give us the account of Paul's death, but we know that here at 2 Timothy is the last time that God uses this man, Paul, to pin down the word of God. And it won't be long, because Paul talks about there in the latter part of this book on his death of going home. He knows that his days are numbered. And through history, by things of that, we know that Paul was beheaded, probably by Nero there. But we know that the Apostle Paul, I can just picture, and this is what God flooded back to my mind about these verses as I read through it. I tried to think about who he was and how he sat there. And I know this one, boy, and God just nails it down again. I know this morning that Paul penned this, but it's from God. I know the word of God is inspired. I know that God breathed this and Paul wrote this, but God used Paul in a way and the situation here. And I thought of all the books of the Bible that God used Paul to pen down. And here we come to 2 Timothy, the last time that God's going to use the hand of Paul to pen something down for you and I to have the word of God here today. And I thought of all the people that he could have wrote to. I mean, Paul was so instrumental in the growth of the gospel during this time. Paul, as he went on those missionary journeys, as he saw thousands come to know Christ through the preaching of the gospel, all the places that he could have wrote to, all the people that he could have brought to thought here. But here, as he's on that last leg of his journey, as he's heading towards the finish line, if you want to talk about that way, Paul here writes, and it's again through the inspiration of God, I believe it said something this morning to us this morning who are daddies. He spends those last days of following the leadership of the Holy Ghost and pens a letter down to who? Timothy. And Timothy, if you study out Timothy, we know how Paul was instrumental in his being saved and how Paul was instrumental in developing and growing Timothy in the things of God, and how Timothy accompanied Paul on his journeys, and how Paul had confidence in Timothy and said there was no other man like him that he could have confidence in, and left him, and he took over the leadership roles of things. And the thing that this drawed my mind out is how God here uses this man Paul to write to young Timothy, and the wording that he uses here in chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, to Timothy, and notice what he calls him, my dearly beloved son. And I thought about, as Paul sat there in that prison cell, as Paul sat there thinking on things, as God was putting these things into his mind and his heart, and he's speaking to Timothy, and he calls him, not, it wasn't his physical relationship that he was talking about. We know that Timothy wasn't born of Paul. We know his birth. We've seen some things about his birth. But Paul here describes Timothy as his dearly beloved son. And as you read the words here in 2 Timothy, if you put those things in the mind of a daddy speaking to his child, I thought about, boy, how we've worked our way many times in our life through the book of Proverbs and all the instruction that God uses there between a daddy and a child. And here Paul is showing us that same love and dedication that a husband or a father should have for a son. And I got to thinking about in my own life, and as Brother Russell's already mentioned, boy, I wish I could go back. Well, I wish there's a lot of things I could do different now. Many times we have, excuse me, children and we're so busy getting our lives as our careers and things of that nature and homes and things of that nature that our children are grown up in a situation and there's so many things, boy, I wish I could go back and change. And as that song mentioned, boy, what a beautiful song that goes with the message this morning. You know, daddy this morning, and not just daddies, all of us this morning, we're walking towards something. And this morning, we're leading people in a direction. And where are we leading them to? And I thought about, you know, I just tried to ponder things in my mind as I grew up as a young boy on a farm. And boy, I've made mention of my grandfather a lot, but what an instrumental person in my life. And boy, I tried to imitate him. As a young boy, I fell asleep many a times. I mean, nowadays they say that ain't safe, but it didn't kill me. But I've rode many an hour on the side of a tractor. I've hung on the toolbox of a tractor and fell asleep in his lap as he was cultivating corn or something, you know. And you know, and I think of all the things that I saw him do. And as a young boy, I you know how it is. A lot of times, somebody, you know, your daddy or whatever, be walking, and we got a picture of Ethan. It just comes back to my mind. I worked at Asmo, and my big old work boots, you know, and he just a little old feller, but he crawled up in them work boots and had my boots on, you know. That's just, he was imitating who? His daddy. And this morning, what an important thought this morning, and a captivating thought this morning, and almost a horrible thought this morning of how people are watching and how our children are following us. And this morning, daddy, and again, I've already mentioned it one time, we this morning as a nation, as a church this morning, fellas, we need to understand the role that God has placed upon the husband and the fathers to be that spiritual leader in the home. Amen. Daddy, this morning, you ought to lead your family in spiritual matters. They ought to see you pray. They ought to see you read your Bible. They ought to see you up getting ready for church. That's important. But it's fizzling out in our day, in our churches today. And again, the number of men that are in those places in the church are dwindling. So this morning here we see the Apostle Paul again writing to Timothy here, his dearly beloved son. In 1 Timothy, he makes that same statement, but in a little difference. He didn't call him his dearly beloved son, but he called him his own son. So I see that progression of love. I see that growth in Paul and Timothy's relationship. And I'm glad this morning, even in my life with my dad, I'm glad I can still talk to my daddy. I'm still glad there's a relationship there that I can call him. But I know many people today that don't have that kind of relationship with their own daddy, and how sad that is. But I see a growth, and I see a love for young Timothy in such a way that you and I, not just for our own physical children, but look at these young people this morning and all around in our building today. Think about all the young people that we can have an influence on, and men, we ought to take time to talk with them, take time. I mean, I know the children get mad at me and frustrated because I stand out there, slow down, don't do this. They need to learn how to behave, and they need to know how to work inside the church and do things. And that's a great thing instrumental-wise that we ought to do. And you know, I think about here as I look at the life of Timothy and how Paul was used to train Timothy. And you know, in my own desire, you know, what is it? You know, one of these days, I'm going to die if the Lord doesn't come back, and they're going to roll me in front of a pulpit somewhere, and some men, I didn't,
I done picked out my verses that I want a man to preach. I texted to her, said, write these down. God showed me some verses. I thought, boy, that'd be great if some man would preach that at my funeral. So I've already got that taken care of. And if I die before Brother Maynard, he'll be preaching it, hopefully. And, you know, but they're going to take me out to a graveside. They're going to bury me, and they're going to put a stone up there that's going to have my name. It's going to say May 24th, 1969, a dash in whatever day it is that I died. That little old dash represents a whole life of an individual. And I wonder this morning, I mean, we're not getting younger, fellas. We're not getting younger, ladies. If we're going to do anything that's going to accomplish anything, we better get busy. But as we've wasted many of our lives, I'm speaking to myself, what? In my mind, what would I want? What would I, you know, I'll be honest with you, I've seen more families destroyed when daddy dies and mama dies over their house and their money. I have. And how silly that is. I like what my daddy was an executor of the state when my grandpa, on his daddy died, and he had 4 siblings then. He brought them all in and says, look, there ain't nothing here we're going to fight over. If we're going to fight over, we'll sell it all. You can just have money. And he meant it. And it worked out fine. But I've seen so many families. You might be here this morning and you won't talk to your brothers or your sisters or whatever because of something like that. You're wasting a lot of valuable time. Come on. But what would be my desire? If I had $1 million, what would be $1 million to leave my children? Nothing. If I had all the property and things of this world that most people, I mean, it's a shame today. There's people sitting, you might be sitting here now, can't wait till daddy dies so you can get his inheritance. Shame on you. I sure would rather have my daddy alive than anything else he's got. But if I had all these possessions, what would that be to leave somebody? Nothing. So what is it that I could leave for somebody? And I've told my pastor this, and I don't do it to puff him up or me, either one. But I've told him because, Betty, he's fought a good fight. He's been in the trench. He's fought and fought and fought and still fighting, trying just to take the gospel to a bunch of people that don't want the gospel. And I'd call him from time to time, try to be an encouragement the way he was to me. And I say, preacher, I just want to tell you I love you. Preacher, I want to tell you that if God hadn't used you, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Because he was so instrumental in helping me to learn the will of God. Because a lot of times I'd call him, I'd say, preacher, I know. Because when I was working side by side with you, buddy, we was in the battle and I couldn't see what God was doing. But now that I've stood back and now that God's put me over here on this side of the hill, I can look back over to that side and see how God has used you. I told him before, I said, preacher, if it's nothing else, I know for one thing you've got two men that come out from under you that are serving the Lord the best they know how. So what would it be? What importance this morning, fellas, would it be? What would you like to leave? And I thought about, and one day I might preach this, I believe this would be a great message out of 2 Timothy, how to die happy. Wouldn't you like to die happy? Wouldn't you like to be laying on your deathbed if it draws out that way and you could just be happy about the path that God's put you down and how you worked and you served the Lord? Paul said, I've finished my course. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. And there's a part about dying happy that I see here. But the thing that I see here that Paul, as God's drawing him towards the end of his life, here's Timothy, a young man, and Paul claims him to be his dearly beloved son. And Paul has a lot of instruction here in 2 Timothy pointed just to that young Timothy to how to survive and how to live a successful life. You know, Daddy is... I hope it was important to you. And again, that's one of the things, again, that I see that's hurting a lot of our homes today because they don't get this. But I know as a daddy, I wanted to teach my children how to do things the right way. How to live morally, how to live and pay their bills and how to be, I mean, they're not perfect. My son's not perfect. My daughter's not perfect. But it's as a daddy, that's one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I taught them some things. And that's exactly where I see Paul here as he's coming down to the end of the line, how he's wanting Timothy to know some things. So let me give you some things this morning real quick. Let me throw this verse out real quickly in John chapter 1. John said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What greater joy? Boy, I get excited when my children do something. They've excited me so much over the years that they've accomplished something or done something. But as a daddy, the greatest joy that I believe, and I hope it's true in my heart, I think it is, I hope it is, the greatest joy that I'll ever have for my children is to know that they get married one day and take on the role as a family and train up their family in the things of God and they serve the Lord until they die. No greater joy than know that our children walk in truth. Is that really what we want for our children today? Is that what we desire for our families? Let me give you about 9 things. I'm not going to preach these. I'm just going to give them to you this morning. That I see that Paul writes to young Timothy here, instructing him in these, knowing that he's getting ready to leave out. First of all, in chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, be not thou therefore ashamed. Paul says, Timothy, as your father, as your daddy in the Lord, I want you not be ashamed of who, first of all, the Lord is. Well, I see a lot of young people that daddy tried to serve the Lord, I believe, maybe not to the fullest that he could have, but they're raising children that they didn't teach to come up under the things of God, and now God's a joke to them. And Paul here, as he writes to Timothy, he says, don't be ashamed. Not only don't be ashamed of who the Lord is, but don't be ashamed of who I am. This morning, would your child be ashamed, Daddy, of who you are? Would he? Paul says here, don't be ashamed. Verse number 13 in chapter 1, he also says, hold fast. Not only, Timothy, do I want you to not be ashamed, but there are some things I want you to hold on to. And buddy, I've seen so many people today that are abandoned. It makes me sick. It really does. I'm not one, a pack rat. I'm not a junk keeper. But you know, there's some things in my life that has been handed down through family. It's just, you know, they're traditions of men and that kind of thing. But I believe there's some things that's in our families that we ought to hold on to. But Paul's not talking about physical things. He's talking about spiritual things. And buddy, I hope these young people, and mom and daddy, I hope that we run our course, that we finish in the way that God wants us to finish and not to set down the truths of the Bible. And Paul says, Timothy, hold fast. Young person, listen to me. You're going to be tempted to go another way. I know families today, I know young people today that grew up under good, strong, preaching out of a good, fundamental, independent Baptist church that heard all the truths. And today they've kicked it to the side and gone after some newfangled thing. Sad. Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of Jesus and don't, not only Jesus but myself, but he says, hold fast. Chapter 2, he gives him some more instruction. Verse number 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong. Be strong what? He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This morning, we ought to have a desire for our children, not of our own physical, but our church family, that our children would be strong in the things of God. Hey, it's a battle out there. Hey, there's going to be troubles and trials on every hand. They need to be strong in the things of God. So he says, hold fast. Be strong. Verse 2, he says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Not only did Paul have a desire for Timothy to grow and to continue in the Lord, but he also had a desire for Timothy to continue to grow out the things of God. Look, one of these days, somebody else is going to fill this pulpit. One of these days, somebody else is going to stand in that choir. One of these days, somebody else has got to be in these classrooms. Hey, we looked last week about service, preparing for service. And this morning, families, listen, we need to teach our young people, we need to teach our new converts and those kind of things how to get in and get grounded and grow in the Lord. And we ought to be producing more Christians. That's what's wrong, is we're dying. We're dying. There's a, I come through my mind, there's a statistic that it takes But I'm thinking it's two. There's a statistic for a culture or a nation to survive on a growth rate. If it doesn't grow in such a way in the scheme of time, it will die on its own self. And I'm afraid for the fundamentals of the truth that we're not producing enough offsprings that I know I'm not worried about the church. Why? Because that's God's business. He'll make sure that happens. But it don't mean there'll be one in Rowan County. They won't mean there'll be one in America. But Paul here wants Timothy to continue to press forward and to grow men to take over and to grow further. Chapter 2, verse number 3, I see another. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? Today we've pampered children. We've set them up for great fall. We have. Life's not easy. If you've taught your children that life's easy and everything's fair, you've hurt them. They need to understand that, and I've used it before. I know in the peewees and all that, baseballs and all that, it's everybody's a winner. Well, guess what? Everybody ain't a winner. That's just life. And if they don't understand, get a hold of that, that there are hardships physically. I hate to use me, but I guess we'll just have to use me. One of my greatest fear for my children is the effects of what church has done to preachers. Man, y'all are quiet. My children have seen a lot of ugliness in the name of Christ. And we've tried our best to shield them from those things because we've tried our best to never talk about things like that in front of our children. But they know, they're not dumb. And it's always been a great fear of mine that they're going to get so fed up with people that, they'll just say, "What's the use?" And I can understand that. But Paul says, look, Timothy, you need to learn to endure hardness. And I want my children to understand, hey, there's going to be troubles in churches. There's going to be problems that come up from time to time. But I don't serve people. I serve Jesus. And we're not coming to church for anybody else but Jesus. I've heard people, and you might be here this morning, you made this crazy statement. Well, I ain't going back down there, a bunch of hypocrites. I didn't come here for that bunch of hypocrites anyway. I came here because of the Lord, and I want to serve the Lord. I want to learn about the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. But Paul here is warning young Timothy, hey, you've got to grow up and understand there's going to be some hard times. And this morning we need to teach that to our young people today that there's going to be some hard times. Verse number 4, he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Paul here is telling Timothy, hey, the battle's going to continue on. I'm getting ready to leave, but I need you to carry on. Listen, again, that passing, if you want to, of that baton, that relay of race. Hey, we've run, and I thank God for some of these old men. Listen, let me say this. I don't know how long God will have me anywhere. I see a lot of churches take old preachers and kick them out just because they're old. Oh, we got to have a young preacher or we won't reach out. Crazy. I'm thankful for some of these old men that are still in there plowing. Amen. Still serving God with all they got. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, Timothy, I'm going to get ready to hand off this thing to you and you got to press on with it too. So he's instructing Timothy how to carry on. Chapter 2, verse number 15. Boy, this is a big one. Study. Study. Are we encouraging our young people, Daddy, to study? Do they see you study? Study to show thyself approved unto who? God. You don't study to impress the preacher. You don't study to impress somebody else. You study to show yourself approved unto God. So we need to study, he says. Verse 22 of chapter 2 says this. He says, not only study, but he says, flee. I believe a lot of people today have been eaten by the enemy because they didn't flee when they should have flown. What's that? Flee, flow, flown? Yeah. They should flee. But Timothy, Paul's telling Timothy, you need to flee some things.
the mentality of our day, and Brother David was telling me that Brother Coffey called him this morning, that, and I don't know the whole ins and outs of it, but something about the military, they're trying to get a one system uniform. Is that right, Brother David? Want them all be the same. That's what our world wants for our young people to try to. You can shack up with a Muslim and it'll be all right. You know, they're peace-loving people. They only blow people up and kill you. They're peace-loving people. There's a lot of things that we need to teach one another to flee from. Flee. Get away from it. Don't even mess with it. You ain't got to be ugly about it. Just don't go there. Don't be there. Don't do that. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. He needs to learn to flee. And then last of all, this morning, chapter 4, verse number 2. All through this chapter, if you'll read it with that thought of Paul speaking to Timothy as a young son, a beloved son, he leads him with this. Preach the word. People used to ask me about my son, says, don't you want him to grow up to be a preacher? And I know what they're talking about, you know, pastor of church. People don't understand that word preach. We're all called to be preachers. Preaching is the proclaiming of the gospel. And Timothy, as he's reading his letter from his father in the Lord, as he's closing down to the end of it, Paul says, Timothy, I've given you all that other stuff, but last of all, let me give you one more thing I want you to do. I want you to preach the word. To me, that would make a great filling in of the dash. I told you about my preacher and how much I love him in the Lord. He's been such an instrumental person in my life. And I think about my life in the ministry of for the Lord. And well, I hope that when it all comes to me at the end, that I've had an influence on somebody just to serve the Lord a little greater. Would be a waste of time if we didn't influence anybody. Well, preacher, I got 500 saved. I didn't get anybody saved, but I sure told a lot of people about the Lord. Amen. I don't save people. The Lord does. Amen. But that little dash, Paul here takes a whole letter through the inspiration of God and says, Timothy, you're my son, my dearly beloved son. Let me give you a few more things, and then I'm not going to be here. Some of you, a lot of you this morning, you've experienced the death of your parents. Boy, I know when my wife, I've made mention it before, when my wife's mother died, she'd pick up the phone and she'd just stop. It's like, what's wrong? She was getting ready to try to call mama and ask her a question, how to do something. I know as I think about the future, if the Lord doesn't come back, there's going to be a time where I'm going to bury my daddy. It's going to be tough where I can't call and ask daddy a question about the car or a question about this, how to do that. It's going to be tough. And Paul was getting ready to leave this place, but he wanted to give Timothy one more thing to hang on to. Aren't you glad this morning that God gives us some things that we can anchor into? That we won't ever lose those things? But daddy, this morning, I want to encourage you this morning, as Paul looked at Timothy. Many of us got children, but it's not just our fleshly children. It's our spiritual family, I believe, this morning is even greater. We need to be that in front of them. We need to teach them, train them, provide for them. This morning, I ain't doing a very good job. I can't go back and change anything. But one thing we can do from right now until the Lord comes back is we can do better. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just simple little thoughts.